Well, welcome to the Finding Your Financial Voice podcast, our fifth season, with me, your host, Anita R. Johnson. I am excited about 2023. We have a new platform where the podcast will be streaming, and we've been around for 25 years. Anita R. Johnson and Associates have been around for 25 years. And then, of course, this podcast is about 3 years old, starting in the month of February, where we are now. So thank you for all our listeners, and make sure that you go to our moneywisdomforwomen.com website, where you'll find specials on our magazine, Affluence Financial Fitness for Women, our digital magazine, our webinars and retreat, because we are still celebrating 25 years of being in business. And I want to thank all our 2022 listeners, and welcome to 2023. We also are going to be broadcasting on the BDE music platform. So you'll be seeing that as well. And then, of course, always check our YouTube. So we got plenty of stuff going out. Now, our mission for this podcast is to always give you financial tips where you can always put them in place immediately. However, we want to make sure that you go to your financial advisor, your banker, your tax person, your accountant before making any major financial changes. Boy, I am excited about our guest today. I have met this young lady a while back, and then I finally got to meet her in person in 2023 when we were at the Financial Therapy Association, where I spoke, and I believe she was a presenter too. And she also sits on the board. This is Agent Evans. Hello, Agent. How you doing this morning?
Hi, Anita. I'm good. How are you?
I am great. I'm excited to be interviewing you. I have to get my words right here this morning, interviewing you about all the things and all the ways that you can help your clients or people that are listening, our listeners, with their financial emotions, because you and I talk about the emotions. We talk about that is the actual basis for that starts every con should start every conversation when it comes to money. Do you not think so?
Oh, I most definitely think so. And that's definitely why I do the work that I do and have just found it to be so important to really push that messaging and just the understanding of why money can be so emotional for people.
Correct. I'm going to ask you to, before we get started with all the questions, I'm going to ask you to give a little history. I have your bio in front of me, but I want you to give us a little history of the bio that you sent to me and why you even started doing this work.
Sure. So I am a licensed mental health counselor, and my practice is based in New York City. And I have been in mental health for almost 15 years at this point, which feels really wild to me. But, life goes very quickly. And I
Yes,
have,
it does.
right? I've worked all over the mental health industry, with all age groups, and really have settled into working with adults now and in the financial therapy space, and just having conversations about what is brought up when it comes to thoughts about money, feelings about money, money behaviors, and having those types of conversations. And have been, I'll say, part of me wants to say lucky enough, but it's not just luck, right? It's a lot of time and effort and work has gone into this, but being featured in different news outlets, and that has been really great. And just being able to have this conversation on a larger platform, because what I found in my own journey personally is that people were not talking about money. So when I had first moved to New York City, both of my parents are from New York City, but I grew up upstate New York. And when I moved down, I was making more money than I had ever before, but I found that I just was feeling like I wasn't in the quote unquote good place with my money, that my money wasn't going as long as I felt like it should. And I was making some questionable financial choices, and mostly around eating and going out and having a good time in my 20s, which is important too, but there wasn't a financial balance to what I was doing. So I had credit card debt. I didn't have very much savings, and I was just starting to feel really bad about it. And that was the catalyst to launch me into financial education and just learning more about money in general. And what I found, I was like, oh, well, people need to be talking about this. I can't believe we're not. So whenever my clients would come to session and would just kind of hint at what was going on with money, I would pounce on that and be like, oh, yes, we need to talk about this. What's going on? Let's talk about your feelings. So that really jump-started my introduction into financial therapy. And from there, I found other associations, like you mentioned, the Financial Therapy Association, and just really started diving in on financial therapy and have made it a main pillar in my practice now, because I just felt that people were having a hard time expressing their emotions and figuring out that they had emotions about money. And I felt like we needed to talk about it more.
Wow, that, you know, you answered one of my questions, because one of my questions was going, how did you jump from mental health straight in, or not kind of straight in, but you still have the mental health. How did you jump into financial therapy? And then you just said, you know, basically it becomes part of what you are learning for your own self. And you were like, oh, wow, am I really going through this?
Yeah, I couldn't be the only one.
Yes.
And I most definitely am not.
Yeah. And you know, it's really amazing, because one of the things that pushed me into being a behaviorist, a financial behaviorist, was I saw other people, but then I didn't realize it was just me too. It was me in that situation. Did you see other people? Then also all of a sudden you recognize it was you that had some emotional setbacks with money?
No, I was just feeling bad on my own. So okay. I think the clinical perspective, and having worked in mental health, I have always been a pretty introspective person to take the time to really listen to myself and figure out and be honest with myself about how I was feeling. And what was going on is that I was feeling bad about my money. I was feeling like I either couldn't keep up with other people or just feeling bad about myself about not having made more money. So I recognized it for myself and what I was going through, and then brought that feeling outward, because I am a very verbal processor. I decided that we needed to talk about this, and that I would happily be the first person to bring up, hey, how do you feel about your money and what's going on for you? Because I did not believe for a second that I was the only one feeling bad about money.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, because at first I was looking at everybody else, and then I started looking once I realized, once I realized that they were having it, then I was like, well, yeah, that's me too. That's me too. And then once I came to that realization, then it became more natural for me to have the conversation, because it's always unnatural. Money is always an unnatural conversation, because once we become adults, whatever we learned in our youth, once we become adults, so to speak, we realize what happened back in the back, in the front end of that, actually, is what's happening with us now as we grow into our money, because we're supposed to be adults. And we're like, well, nobody's really supposed to help me. I'm supposed to already know this. But if we didn't learn it, then it becomes another kind of issue.
Most definitely. And I think what you're talking about and touching on is really the shame that comes along with taboo topics, right? Mm-hmm. For so long, money was so taboo that more of a, you don't have this conversation. We don't talk about money. It's not polite. It's rude. You don't mm-hmm. speak on it. Mm-hmm. And I think with the way we communicate now, the way globalization is going, the way people are recognizing how they're feeling and how mental health plays a role, break down some of these taboo subjects and just say, hey, no, this doesn't make me feel good. I feel bad about this. And I think breaking down the taboo about having conversations about money is really going to be the key to allowing people to step out of their shame and isolation and into a place of recognizing that they're not alone.
Wow. Now, once a person realizes their emotions, whatever those emotions might be, what is the best way to deal with those emotions? You know, okay, so I have fear of dealing with my money. I'm ashamed of how I spend my money, or I'm ashamed to have too much. I'm ashamed to have too less. What would be their next step once they realize that they have these money scripts, so to speak, that keep them from actually going forward with their monies?
Yeah, so when I'm working with my clients and that question is coming up for them, I think first we have to decide, like, what is there a crisis? Is there a financial crisis right now that is knocking at your door that you need to figure out, answer, and have some kind of resolution for? So first it's kind of looking at crisis resolution and creating a plan. After creating that plan, if they need one, or talking to other people who might be supporting them to create said plan, then we can start really diving into the emotions, because you can't try to dive into the emotions when you are worried about whether. The same way, if you're thinking about your basic needs, if you are hungry, you're not really worried about your retirement, right? Like if your food is here, you're not thinking about your retirement. So if you have a financial crisis, we have to deal with that and figure out a plan, and then we can start diving into the emotion. So once that is taken care of, now let's talk about what were the messages that you got growing up, and how are they either are currently influencing how you operate with your money, or impacting how you choose to operate with your money? What are the narratives, as you said, the money scripts, the narratives, the stories that make up your personal life experience that you may be perpetuating in your financial behaviors?
Wow. That's really good. You know, a lot of people come to me and they say, hey, I need help creating, I don't call it a budget, I call it a financial spending plan, right? And I'm like, okay, so, but they've created this plan before and they are not able to, for whatever reason, stick to it. So we go through the emotions as we're going through the plan as well. Like you said, well, if you're hungry, you can't even think about retirement. You want to know how you're going to eat.
Yeah, and where's my next meal coming from?
Yeah, that's important. Well, great. So you are associated with the Financial Therapy Association, and I love the Financial Association. I do. I can't remember exactly what I was doing and when I came across those guys, FTA, but I have done quite a bit of work with them, and I actually really like them. And you are the newly minted board member for Financial Therapy Association. Tell me how you decided to do that.
Actually, it was at the conference that we were at together. Yeah. So when I found the FTA, I just realized that I needed to be more involved. I loved what they were doing. I loved the community aspect of what was happening with the FTA. And I just wanted to be involved as much as possible.
Great.
So I volunteered and was on a.
So tell us the mission. Tell the listeners the mission of the FTA.
Internet. Yeah, so I mean, the mission of the FTA is exactly what we're talking about, right?
Okay.
It is to explore how people think, feel, and behave around their money, and how do we help support those people in making sure that they're making healthy financial decisions. And that is across the board, across a spectrum from mental health to financial professionals. So I happen to fall on the mental health side of it. So the work that I'm doing is really seeped in the emotional, where there might be on the other side of the spectrum might be somebody who is coming from the financial side, who is doing like financial planning work or financial advising work, that but understand the nuances of how emotions play a role in the decisions that you make financially.
Wow.
So yes, it's a beautiful spectrum of people in, I feel like, these industries that were operating separately and realizing that they need to kind of work together, and how can we come together to support people in a healthy way. So yeah, I didn't get enough of that. And when I had a few conversations at the FTA, I decided that I would try to run for the board and see what happened. And other people supported that. And here I am.
All right. I love it. I love the fact that you're there. and the association is nationwide, I know. And how can, and who should be part of this association besides, you know, myself, someone like myself in the financial industry? Should regular therapist, financial advisors, planners, bankers, should all of these guys probably be part of this association?
I mean, I might be biased, but I think the answer is yes. I do not think it is possible to separate money from emotions. And I think for a very long time, we tried to do that and it was not working for people. And as a therapist, and as a, like, I was a generalist therapist. Mm-hmm. I don't really think we can separate our emotions from anything. I think we humans are emotional beings. And yes, we can put our emotions on the back burner or decide that, hey, I may not have the ability to really dive into this right now, but our emotions are part of us. So to ignore that aspect of being a human doesn't, in my mind, it does not compute. So
I think
everybody needs to be involved in what this means. And you choose the level of involvement for you and what works in your life and what works for you professionally, but at least the understanding that this may help you, this may help people you are around, this may help the people that you're working with, just having a basic understanding of how your emotions impact what you do with your money, I think is extremely important for both fields.
Well, I am truly excited to be part of it and have met you in the process of me being part of the conversation. When is and I'm pretty sure you may know this question. The next conference, do you have the date? Do we have the date and the place for the next conference?
I don't know if this is public yet. So I cannot say that I'm going to speak on it.
That's okay.
But it's coming.
But it's coming up.
Amazing. And sign up for the emails to make sure, or follow the FTA on LinkedIn and on the other socials to make sure you're abreast of when this information is going to come out, because it's an amazing conference to be a part of, especially if you are in these industries and having these conversations.
Definitely. I met a number of people there, and I'm excited to continue to have the conversations with them, even when we're not at the conference, but still email, phone calls, all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited about sharing things with them in the profession itself. Yeah. Can you want to give us a little bit of your contact information, just in case you get somebody wants to be a client? And do you do Zoom clients, or is everything in person, or what?
Sure. So you can find me on my website, which is asiaevanscounseling.com. I'm also on Instagram at Asia, AJAE therapy, as well as TikTok for all my TikTok people out there.
Ooh.
And LinkedIn as well with Asia Evans LMHC. And I do both. So I do see people in person and I do see people virtually as well.
Well, one day I'm be bold enough to be on TikTok. I'm just not bold enough just yet.
Oh, you can do it. If you are doing this podcast and have been committed, you have things to say. The people want to hear them. It's just the first step.
Oh, great. Do you have any speaking engagements coming up, or do you webinars or any of that?
Not that. Okay. I do have one in Atlanta, but I think it's a private one that's coming up. But then
Okay. There
is one that I will be a part of on March 9th through with the Luminary, and you can look them up at their site as well.
Okay, great. Great. Well, you know, I want to thank you for being a guest here on the Finding Your Financial Voice podcast. I love having guests, and I love, you know, having you on as and being part of the Financial Therapy Association. And I love being part of our conversations and stuff. And so thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Anytime. And thank you so much for having me. This is a great conversation. And thank you for the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you. So thank you. I want to also thank our listeners. And don't forget to like and share this podcast with other on your various platforms. This has been the Finding Your Financial Voice podcast with your host, myself, Anita R. Johnson, where the mission is always to give you sound financial tips you can implement immediately, allowing you to leave a legacy for your family. Talk soon. And don't forget our magazine, Affluence Financial Fitness for Women magazine. It is out. It is on the, you can get it a digital copy or you can get a print copy. So that is on our website. So thank you so much. And until next time, we love you. Bye-bye.